Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off here in the United States. U.S. Soccer has announced the nominees for its 2016 Player of the Year awards. The Male Player of the Year will be announced on Friday night, and there are five nominees: midfielder Michael Bradley, defender Jeff Cameron, and strikers Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, and Bobby Wood. All five players have seen duty for the U.S. men's national soccer team. Wood and Cameron are based in Europe. Wood plays for Hamburg SV in Germany's Bundesliga, while Cameron is with Stoke City in England's Premier League. Altidore, Bradley, and Dempsey compete in Major League Soccer. Altidore and Bradley are teammates on Toronto FC, while Dempsey plays for the Seattle Sounders. And that reminds me, Toronto will host Seattle Saturday, December 10th, in the MLS Cup Final. This 21st edition of MLS Cup, Major League Soccer's championship match, marks the first time that a Canada-based club, Toronto FC, will contest for the trophy. It's also the first time the game will feature MLS expansion clubs. Toronto is in its 10th MLS season, while Seattle is playing its 8th season in the league. But let's get back to those U.S. Soccer Player of the Year awards. Toronto FC captain Michael Bradley won the 2015 Male Player of the Year prize, while Seattle's Clint Dempsey has won it three times in 2007, 2011, and 2012. Toronto's Jozy Altidore won the award in 2013, while European-based players Jeff Cameron and Bobby Wood have never won it. U.S. Soccer's Female Player of the Year will be announced on Sunday, December 11th. The five nominees all play for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, which won its third Women's World Cup trophy last year in Canada. They are, in alphabetical order, Crystal Dunn, Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, and Becky Sauerbrunn. Lloyd won the award last year. 2015 was a big year for Carly. She also was named FIFA's Best Female Player. Alex Morgan won U.S. Soccer's Female Player of the Year award in 2012, while Crystal Dunn, Toby Heath, and Becky Sauerbrunn have never won it. Meanwhile, Africa will hold its annual football awards ceremony on January 5th in Abuja, Nigeria. The big award to be handed out is the African Player of the Year. And the five-man shortlist has 2015 winner Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon and Borussia Dortmund, Riyad Mahrez of Algeria and Leicester City, Islam Slimani, also of Algeria and Leicester City, Sadio Mane of Senegal and Liverpool, and Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Roma. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2016, let's go back to early January when Aubameyang was crowned the King of African Football in Abuja. And my awards package begins with some official and sporty kudos. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Gabon and Borussia Dortmund striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who was named the 2015 African Footballer of the Year in Abuja, Nigeria.
The winner is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
The 26-year-old Aubameyang has been banging in goals in Germany's Bundesliga. He's currently the league's top scorer with 18 goals. And since joining Dortmund in 2013, he's scored 47 goals overall. Aubameyang also captained Gabon's team at the 2015 African Cup of Nations tournament in Equatorial Guinea. The Gabonese did not impress in Equatorial Guinea, though. Aubameyang scored a goal in Gabon's opening match, a 2-0 win over Burkina Faso, but that would be his only goal of the tournament, and Gabon lost its next two games and was eliminated after the group stage. Because of that, some thought Manchester City man Yaya Toure might win a record-extending fifth consecutive African Footballer of the Year trophy since his Ivory Coast team lifted the cup in Equatorial Guinea. The vote by African national team coaches and technical directors was close. Aubameyang received 143 votes, while Toure got 136. Andre Dede Ayew of Ghana and Swansea City was third with 112 votes. Our VOA football fans will remember Ayew's father, Abedi Pele, was a three-time winner of the African Footballer of the Year award. Speaking in French after winning the award, Aubameyang said beating great players like Toure and Ayew is a real thrill.
Tu sais, c'est quand tu es à côté de joueurs comme Yaya Touré et André Ayew, c'est une fierté de gagner ce trophée devant eux, parce que ce sont des très grands joueurs que j'admire évidemment beaucoup.
When you have contenders like Yaya Touré or Ayew, said Aubameyang, it's quite a big achievement to win such a trophy because those are great players. I have a lot of admiration for them. Meanwhile, Yaya Touré expressed disappointment over not winning again.
Quite disappointed, but I don't want to complain too much. You know what I mean. I just want to give you credit as well to Bayo Bernabeu. You've been doing brilliantly well this year, and Andre Ayew as well is quite a little bit disappointed as well. You know, and what we have to do, I think, from now, we just have to play football to play and try to do it our best.
Ivorian football star Yaya Touré speaking in Abuja, Nigeria.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Let's hear it for New York. Alicia Keys and Jay-Z with their 2009 song, Empire State of Mind. New York is where longtime sports photographer Neil Leifer recently had some of his iconic images auctioned off. The 73-year-old Leifer did some of his best-known work for Sports Illustrated magazine. In fact, Neil was only 16 years old when he sold his first photos to the magazine. Looking back on his career, Leifer talks about his favorite sport to shoot.
Well, I always liked photographing boxing. I found boxing to be a sport. One, I like the people. I mean, believe it or not, the nicest athletes in sport were boxers and hockey players. And I mean, in both instances, you were dealing with pretty uneducated guys, certainly when I was shooting. But they were always gentlemen. You brought a lady into the boxing gym and the language changed dramatically. More important, they were just always so cooperative.
Neil Leifer says his personal favorite image and his most famous photograph both feature the late great world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali, who died June 3rd.
You know, my best known picture is Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston, but that is so much luck involved in that. I mean, the photographer, and I'm not being modest, believe me. I've never met a modest photographer who was any good. So without sounding modest, that picture was better than 50% luck. I'd say 80% luck. I didn't miss, but if you look between Ali's legs, there's a bald photographer, Herb Sharpman, very good boxing photographer, and he was the other Sports Illustrated photographer ringside. And he's looking up at Ali's rear end, so you know no matter how good he is, he's not getting a very good picture. So that one isn't my favorite. My favorite sports picture I took a year later when Cleveland Williams fought Muhammad Ali. It's a diamond-shaped picture looking straight down on the canvas, and it's the only picture I took in my career that I wouldn't change. There's nothing I would change. I mean, I've looked at it for years. I usually look at my pictures, and there's always some little tweak I could make to make it even better. That's the one shot that I would never hang. It hangs in my living room, and it's the only picture because, again, my collection of other people's photographs is what I had in my having. I still have in my apartment the ones I've kept. But the Ali Williams picture is the only one of my photographs that hung in my house all these years.
Reflecting on his early years, Neil Leifer says he did not start out thinking he would be a professional sports photographer.
It came slowly. I never knew there was a profession called photojournalism. I knew there were Life magazine and Sports Illustrated and Look magazine, Saturday Evening Post in those days. There were a lot of places to market your pictures or sell your photographs. But, you know, it was a hobby, and it just got to be more than a hobby rather slowly. My mother and father, I'm sure, thought they had a young doctor growing up in the house that would get over this. It's like stamp collecting or coin collecting. You eventually move on to other things. I suddenly began finding people interested in my pictures, and one day I'd wake up and just start pinching myself as to, hey, they're paying me to go to the World Series. I mean, I was a baseball fan. And then there wasn't a Super Bowl in those days, but I'm still a Giants fan, football Giants. They're paying me, giving me the best seat in the house and paying me to do something I enjoy. And I'm on the sidelines at all the Giants games, or certainly the big ones. And it just grew into a lifetime career, but I certainly didn't plan it, and I honestly didn't know there was such a career.
Sports photographer Neil Leifer, who recently had some of his images auctioned off in New York. In recent years, Leifer has reduced his photography workload, and Neil has focused on writing, producing, and directing short films and documentaries.
Thank you. Music time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20, and 2200 Universal Time. That's what's up.
Why? But tell me where you're going.
What?
Why do we get them a shop me land?
Them a shop you land?
Hey, them a shop me land. Them be shunning, them be shunning. That of course.
The Voice of America.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news. Former FIFA president Sepp Blatter has lost his appeal against a 6-year ban for ethics violations. The disciplinary action was taken against the 80-year-old Blatter during a corruption scandal that rocked football's world governing body. Blatter led FIFA for 17 years, resigning in June last year after several dozen football officials, including former FIFA executive committee members, were indicted here in the United States on corruption charges. Sepp Blatter took his appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which has its headquarters in Lausanne, Switzerland. Matthew Reeb, the court's secretary general, walked out of the headquarters and issued the following statement to reporters.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport has rendered today its decision in the arbitration between Joseph Blatter and FIFA. The appeal of Mr. Blatter has been dismissed. Accordingly, the decision rendered by the FIFA Appeals Committee in February this year remains in force, and Mr. Blatter remains banned from taking part in any football-related activity at national and international level for 6 years, as from 8 October 2015, and must still pay a fine of 50,000 Swiss francs. Generally speaking, the reasons expressed in this decision are very similar to the ones expressed in the Platini Award. The panel found that Mr. Blatter breached the FIFA Code of Ethics, one, by approving a payment of 2 million Swiss francs in favor of Michel Platini outside any contractual basis, and two, by awarding contributions to Michel Platini under the FIFA Executive Committee retirement scheme. So in both situations, both payments amounted to an undue gift. Regarding the sanction, the CAS panel noted that Mr. Blatter requested the annulment of the ban, but did not request a reduced penalty. In any event, the panel determined that the sanction imposed was not disproportionate and decided to confirm the FIFA decision in full.
That's Matthew Reeb, the Secretary General of the Court of Arbitration for Sport, speaking outside CAS headquarters in Lausanne, Switzerland. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, I want to talk about some achievements, because I love that sports phrase. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. And we have some people
who
believed and they achieved. And we'll start with Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors scoring 60 points last night in just 29 minutes on the floor.
Wow.
As the Golden State Warriors knock off the Indiana Pacers 142-106. It's the most points in history by a player playing less than 30 minutes. So a huge accomplishment for him. Fans erupting on social media. You see videos from the stadium there, from the arena, as fans go crazy as he's scoring. And this stat, actually two stats. After the first three quarters, the Warriors were at 116, the Indiana Pacers were at 83, and Klay Thompson was at 60. So that gives you a kind of perspective of how great this was. And also some perspective, of course, Wilt Chamberlain holds the record for most points ever scored in a game, 100 points he scored. That was about, in 48 minutes that he played, about 2.08 points per minute. The 60 points that Klay Thompson scored in 29 minutes, 2.07 points per minute. So he was right on pace. If he had stayed in the game, some people are speculating he could have scored close to 100 points in the game. But Coach Steve Kerr pulled him out of the game, said, you know what? He did well enough. We have to rest him. We can't let him just be lights out for the whole game.
And he still has Steph Curry and Kevin Durant to pick up the slack.
Absolutely. You know, when you're on fire, you're on fire. And that was the sentiment expressed by a lot of folks, including Ayesha Curry, wife of Steph Curry, tweeting out saying that she's here for this. So cool to see them having so much fun. And you could see the bench was having just a blast cheering him on as he was doing so well.
I know early in the season, I think the Warriors lost a couple games. There was thought that maybe they weren't going to gel properly, but they seem to be firing on all cylinders right now.
They are gelling, that is for sure. Absolutely.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, another achievement, Tiger Woods. Now, this might not be an achievement on paper, finishing 15th out of 17th at the Heroes World Challenge in the Bahamas over the weekend, but after 15 months off, 466 days to be exact. The fact that he's back in golf and back playing is a big achievement for him after some health setbacks. He actually jumped up 248 spots in the world golf ranking to number 650. He still has a ways to go, but he's jumped up quite a far bit after this tournament. And he's getting some interesting praise from none other than President-elect Donald Trump. Who tweeted out, of course, he's very prolific on Twitter, using it all the time, tweeted out over the weekend, said, "Great to have you back, Tiger. Special." So getting some high praise on social media from the president-elect, and even Tiger tweeting out on Monday, hashtag Monday Motivation, tweets out a picture that says, "The greatest thing about tomorrow is that you can be better than you are today." And that's a quote that he has. So some big achievements for him after those setbacks, and hopefully we'll see him more in 2017 and at full health. We'll see.
If he doesn't roar, at least maybe growl a little bit, the Tiger.
That's, you know, the one phrase that I kept seeing over and over again on social media is Tiger out of the woods. A little play on words there. But we'll see if he is. But he's making some progress in achieving, hoping to get back to where he once was.
I know, Andrew, you talk about ratings and TV ratings a lot. And I know the TV officials, they want Tiger back to full health, that the ratings always go up when Tiger is on the course.
This was one of the highest rated tournaments, they said, in a long time. So the fact that Tiger was out there and in red on Sunday, as he always is, as his tradition, it had a big impact for the ratings and the fans.
Quick sunny side of sports salute to Hideki Matsuyama, the 24-year-old Japanese golfer. He won that tournament in the Bahamas. One of the rising young stars, Andrew. He's won four out of his last five tournaments. So another player to watch in 2017.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Tiger Woods is 40 years old. He's going to have a lot of competition from some young guns in the golf world. But there was another tweet that I saw actually talking about the odds for, I believe it was the Masters tournament coming up. Tiger Woods has the same odds as some big-name golfers, Henrik Stenson and others. So Dustin Johnson, I believe, among them, they're all about 20-1 odds, 15-1 odds. So Tiger's right in the mix still. He's still held in pretty high regard, even though he's been out for so long. And like I said, on social media, the fans are just loving it. They're so glad to see him back, glad to see him wearing red, you know, unleash the Tiger, all those kind of things that people are tweeting. And not just the president-elect, but the fans as well, tweeting about all those things. So they're thrilled to see him back. So he's achieving quite a lot as well.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the December 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In many conflicts worldwide, human trafficking or modern slavery is often among the most tragic consequences. And despite persistent efforts to eradicate trafficking in persons, this abhorrent crime persists. According to the International Labor Organization, over 20 million people worldwide are victims of forced labor. On September 16th, U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations and December President of the Security Council, Samantha Power, stated that for groups like ISIL and Boko Haram, slavery has become one of their most versatile weapons of war, used to instill fear, to inflict suffering, to recruit followers, reward fighters, convert people of other faiths, reward combatants, and generate revenue. In Iraq and Syria, ISIL distributes women and girls to fighters as spoils of war, systematically rapes them, and sells them in markets like cattle. ISIL has even gone so far as to encourage the sexual assault of prepubescent girls and issue guidelines on how to treat the women and girls who have been enslaved. Boko Haram also exacts horrors upon those whom it has kidnapped and enslaved. On October 2nd, the group reportedly forced four girls and a boy to become suicide bombers in the Nigerian city of Maiduguri, where they self-detonated at a mosque during evening prayers. 15 people, including these kids, were killed, and more than 35 were injured. Witnesses estimated that the bombers were as young as 9 years old. Member states must commit to ending the conflicts that enable human traffickers to operate, as well as support trafficking victims. To address this in Iraq and Syria, where ISIL has enshrined systems of human trafficking and sexual violence, the U.S.-led 65-member coalition remains determined to destroy ISIL, stem the flow of foreign terrorist fighters, and restrict its funding streams used to fuel its reign of terror. The U.S. also continues to provide security and counterterrorism assistance to the governments of Chad, Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, and Benin to aid their fight against Boko Haram. Human trafficking in conflict is a scourge that knows no borders. That's why U.N. member states must individually combat human trafficking and coordinate efforts now to put a stop to this human tragedy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Madu discusses the state of HIV/AIDS in light of the world's AIDS Day, commemorated every year on December 1st.
For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Else chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Fidel Castro ruled Cuba for 47 years, leaving an imprint on almost every major revolutionary effort in Africa after 1959. Join us for an in-depth look at Castro's impact on Africa. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.